It's Monday, September 26th, and this is the 39th installment of The Shaunakee. I guess this would qualify as another one of those I don't have a story this week episodes. But I do have a story this week, it just isn't good enough yet. And it's been especially difficult to record because the city is tearing up the street outside my house. Actually, they've been at it for about a month and a half. Before, I could simply jump on the mic at any time of the day and get the thing done, but now, no such luck. It's very frustrating, but I did get this stream of consciousness ran out of it. So I'm here trying to record another episode of The Shaunakee with its customary nice sounds and excellent sound quality. But if you can hear in the background, there are people tearing up the street outside my house. And they've been doing this for about 2 weeks, which makes it incredibly difficult to record. So right now, I'm gonna bitch about it. Stream of consciousness.
Would you people please fuck off?
It seems every time I try and get ahead with a podcast, something just drags me back. I'm like 4 or 5 episodes ahead in the writing. I'd like to be 4 or 5 episodes ahead in the recording. I mean, it's not too much to ask that maybe I could edit and not make small mistakes. It's a wonderful low rumbling that wakes me up in the morning, too. It's kind of like throwing a couple of quarters in one of those cheap motel beds, you know, except it doesn't stop. The quarter never runs out. They knocked out my gas main. I didn't have hot water for 2 or 3 days. Now I don't have any water at all. Perhaps I'll crawl around the living room dying of thirst for a while. God, it's amazing. Maybe they'll unearth some ancient creature. Something that will come to take revenge on them in the modern world and their tools. You know, some fiendish half-dinosaur, half-demon thing imprisoned from another age. That'd be nice. Of course, it'd probably get my house wrecked in the process. No, I guess maybe I should just wait until they go away. Although I could bitch about it to the entire world. Yeah, that'd be about right. Maybe I'll just go post this. So I'm just not going to sweat it anymore. You hear that noise in the background? Yep, they're tearing up my street. It's so dusty I thought I saw Tom Joad go walking by. Wherever there's somebody fighting for a place to stand or a decent job or just trying to do a freaking podcast. It seems like the Shaunakee has always run on the ragged edge of disaster. It's part of the rigorous standard of semi-professionalism we hold ourselves to around these parts. And by we, I of course mean me. Just me. As if writing and recording all the episodes were enough work, and it certainly is, I also handle all the web stuff and also work and support myself as a freelance copywriter. Print, TV, radio, brochures, whatever. As a matter of fact, I am for hire. I've worked at small agencies and big agencies, won some awards here and there, one show, CA, you know, if you pay attention to advertising awards, and you shouldn't. But if you happen to know Dan Wyden, tell him I want a job. The secret, the real reason that the Shaunakee sounds so different than everything else, is that I've honed my skills writing radio spots, which, at their best, aren't really that different than a good Shaunakee story.
James, dear boy. James, wake up.
Huh?
It's me, Sir Ed.
Ed, what are you doing here?
Well, I was... Good God, James! There's a bison in your bedclothes.
What? That's Nancy.
Remain still, James. We don't want to alarm it. I'll just nip off and fetch a hunting rifle.
Jim?
Ah, the bison! It speaks!
Jim?
Hold the proverbial phone. Did she say Jim?
Well, that's his name.
James! The boy is named James, madam.
Well, he told me his name was Jim.
Well, in such a state, he might have asked the Queen if she'd drop her knickers for a quick game of Taunt the Unicorn. Jim! I want to talk to James. I know he's in there. Can I talk to James?
Dude, what? I'm right here.
James, if you can hear me, I want you to try and remember Sir Edmund Halley's. Good friends and food and fine strong English beer. Not a Eurotrash fern bar, but a true pub. It misses you, James. It's calling to you. Flee the bison, dear boy. Come back to Halley's.
I'm not averse to taking another full-time gig at the right place, but the problem is that ad agencies seem to be a little obsolescent right now. And the culture of the creative part of the business is driven by big-budget television advertising, which really doesn't work so well anymore. And it doesn't look like it's going to get any better. So I'm trying to evolve into a diligent little creature, writing, 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 maybe writing my way right out of advertising. A little update for fans of How to Succeed in Evil. Succeedinevil.com is up. I'm afraid it's not much of a website yet, but very soon you'll be able to see art from the comic book under development. It's very exciting. I'm working with a talented artist named Nick Rummel. Well, hell, you can judge for yourself, but the style feels very, very fresh for me. I've posted the first 5-panel teaser comic that we've done on goodwordswriteorder.com. More art and the script for the first issue, as well as additional podcast episodes, will soon be available on succeedinevil.com. I think another month or so, and we'll be ready to start shopping around publishers. If anybody has contacts, you know, Joe Quesada owes you a favor. Now is the time. Actually, I think Evil would have to be substantially rewritten to play in the Marvel Universe. But Joe is such a smart guy, I'd love a chance to sit down and talk to him. He's really responsible for the renaissance at Marvel Comics. And in my opinion, the first movie from a comic book that Hollywood didn't screw up. Spider-Man. I'm not the kind of person who's wired to be a fanboy about much of anything, but I do have a lot of respect for Joe. A quick plug here for Neil Gaiman and Dave McKeon, two other comic book guys who have a movie called Mirror Mask coming out with Jim Henson Productions. Neil and Dave are probably best known for their collaborations on the Sandman graphic novels. Highly, highly acclaimed, and stupidly talented. Word is, the movie's going to be excellent. Film now is almost entirely derivative. Studios don't want to take chances, so they look for properties that they can somehow see an audience for. That's where all the remakes come from. The net result is that the art form of our time isn't really very interesting anymore. The most interesting visual storytelling techniques seem to be coming from comic books. The Wachowski brothers, the guys who did The Matrix? Yeah, they're comics guys. Anyway, I have high hopes for Mirror Mask. And while I'm plugging films, let's talk about Serenity, a movie that opens this Friday. It's a film by Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I can take or leave. It's good, people love it, but I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it. But Serenity isn't just a great movie, there's a great story behind it. And you know how I'm a sucker for a great story. Serenity is the continuation of a TV series called Firefly that Fox completely botched. They pulled it before it could finish its first season and replaced it with a show that got even lower ratings. And one of the reasons it didn't do well was Fox ran the episodes out of order, which made things confusing. But in spite of this, Firefly really connected with the core audience. And rightfully so. The show is great. When fans found out the show was in trouble, they started writing sponsors. They pulled their money and took out ads in the entertainment trades. Everything they could think of to try and save the show. I have no idea how Fox screwed this up. From my experiences in marketing, this is gold. The battle's won. You can grow anything from a dedicated core audience. The battle is getting people to care, getting people to evangelize for your product. That's why the pre-Steve Jobs Apple didn't die. But I guess the executives at Fox saw it differently. But now, because the fans were just too stubborn to give up, a TV series that didn't make it through its first season has spawned a feature film. First time ever. Let's chalk one up for the little guys. It starts Friday. Go see it. In other good news, my friend Derek from Skepticality is getting better. It was so touch and go for a while, no one would venture to use the word recovery, but now it describes his situation perfectly. For Derek's condition in more detail than you probably care to know, you can visit skepticality.com. This has been a banner year for the Weather Channel. Most of the time, I imagine they're just sitting around waiting for something to get lightning to death. That's a technical term. Or a tornado to go bowling through a trailer park. But this year is like their spotlight dance. And as I was watching Rita's inexorable march on the Gulf Coast, I caught a taste of my own bile. So you'll have to excuse me. I'm going to vent my spleen a little bit here. Soulless ghouls and custom L.L. Bean parkas matched with cutesy graphics in the corner of the screen. Weather looters, or rather scavengers with perfect hair. Ratings through the roof because people are losing everything. I wouldn't be surprised if they came back from commercial and caught one of the field reporters with his head buried in a dog carcass. Bob, we're on the air, the cameraman would say as the talent whipped around and turned on his million-watt smile, ignorant of the little bit of tripe dangling from the corner of his mouth. I know they're just doing their job, but something about it makes me sick. And poor New Orleans just can't seem to catch a break, can she? I'm going to wrap this up with an excerpt from a poem by Edgar Allan Poe called The City in the Sea. Resigned beneath the sky, the melancholy waters lie. So blend the turrets and shadows there that all seem pendulous in air. While from a proud tower in the town, death looks gigantically down. There open fanes and gaping graves yawn level with the luminous waves. But not the riches there that lie in each idol's diamond eye, not the gaily jewed dead tempt the waters from their bed, for no ripples curl, alas, along that wilderness of glass. No swellings tell that winds may be upon some far-off, happier sea. No heavings hint that winds have been on seas less hideously serene. For the Shawnee, I'm Patrick McLean.